right here in our time. And God's still on the throne, right, sister?
Hallelujah.
Amen. He's still on the throne.
I looked up there and
what did you see? I looked up there and he's still there. Went to the throne room this morning. Guess what? He's still there.
Hallelujah.
You know, as I was looking at the mess of this world and I talked to the Lord about it, he says, I got it. I'm in control. It's all right.
Right.
Amen. So we have nothing to fear. Not even fear itself. We have a loving Father that cares for us. He died for us. He rose again from the grave. He gave us peace and love and His majesty, His glory.
Amen.
And praise God for all those things.
Yes.
Tonight we're going to be in 1 Peter still. We'll be picking up in verse 18. In chapter 1 and verse 18. And so and God wants us to know that He absolutely loves you.
Amen.
Absolutely loves you. He covered you with His grace. He called you before you were ever born. He knew your name. He knew the walks of your life. He knew your parents and where you would be born and all the things that were going to happen. And He while you were yet a sinner, Christ called you right there. You didn't have to get better to come to God.
Amen.
God came to you and He made you better. That word redeemed. Oh, redeemed. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You've been redeemed by the grace of God. By His great and merciful love, He has surrounded you and bathed you in glory. And what a wonderful thing to think of. Amen. What I owe the Lord.
Amen.
For so much that He has done for me. And we as the people of God, we need to be holy because He's holy. That's what it tells us in verse 16 of that same chapter. Verse 16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who with our respect of person judges according every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. All right, understand what he's talking about. Before we get into verse 18, look at what he's trying to say. We need to understand that God is holy, that He really doesn't care about man.
Amen.
He loves men, mankind. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor or you're bow-legged or straight-legged or tall or bald or hairy. None of those things. He doesn't care if you're rich. He doesn't care if you're a Jew or a Gentile. He loves you because you were formed in the image of the likeness of God. You are special and called out from among the people. And when He calls you out of darkness into His light. And then He clothes you with His righteousness.
I love it.
What a great love. God so loves you that He wants you to know those things. And that He respects some things, expects some things out of you because He bought you out. In verse 18 it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver or gold, from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Just look at that right there, that we were not bought by anything on this world.
No.
There's no gold that you are worth more than all the gold in the world. You know that?
Right.
You are worth more than all the silver. There's no precious stones in this world that is truly what you are worth to God.
Amen.
You know, something only has value is what someone will pay for it. All right, you can say, well, this tablet right here, it was signed by Elvis Presley, and it's worth a gazillion dollars. Only if somebody will pay for that, right?
Yeah.
Right. So you're only worth whatever somebody will pay for you.
Right.
All right, God paid for you with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The most holy and sinless and valuable thing that has ever been on this planet, ever before. God paid for our sin debt with that price. And He redeemed you, and that redemption actually means bought back. Okay, so you once belonged to God, the human race belonged to God, but sin came in. Through Adam. Adam allowed sin to come in, and it caused a division between mankind and the Creator, God. And because of that division, we couldn't get back to that relationship that we had. Because remember in the garden, God would walk in the cool of the evening, and Adam and Eve, they would have conversations together. What days those must have been. You know, when the Lord would come down and say, "Hey, Adam, what's hanging? What's going on, man? How's life? You know, aren't you glad there's no poison ivy here?" He would talk to him, you know, and there was richness, and the world, the land was just providing the sustenance for mankind. Whatever he needed, it was right there.
Yes.
Right at his fingertips. And that relationship between man and God was unbroken. Mm-hmm. It was there continuously until sin entered in. See, we belong to God in the very beginning because he scooped up the earth and he breathed into it. And men became living spirits, living souls at that point. Yeah. We were made in the likeness and the image of God. And when God made it, it was good.
Amen.
And from that time, man has not been good. Mm-hmm. From the fall of man, there's not been one man born except for Christ himself, Jesus, because he was born without a sin.
Amen.
In him. Right? He was... Because sin passes from the father to the children. Well, God's father was the Holy Spirit, was the father of light himself, the creator, who passed over Mary. And she conceived and she bore Emmanuel, God with us. Right? And in that was the magnificence of God.
Amen.
And he lived on this earth for 30 plus years.
Bless.
Tempted in every way, just like us. So he understood what it was like to want things and not have them, right? He understood what it was like to be loved and to be rejected. He understood what it was like to be a stepchild, you know? He knew all those things. He knew what it was like to have his own friends, his family reject him.
Amen.
And even in all that, there was no sin found in him, which made him the perfect candidate to be the Lamb of God.
Amen.
The sacrifice for sin, the sin of mankind. And in that, as it says in verse 18 and 19 there, you were not redeemed, you were not bought back. See, you belong to God, sin separated you from God, and then God came and bought you back off of the sin slave market. And he bought you back off of that sin market, and then he set you free from the sin that so easily bound you. What a beautiful picture we have.
Amen.
Here. And as God's, Peter is writing this, gold couldn't do it, silver couldn't do it, the corruptible, vain conversations, the lifestyle that you were leading, vain conversation, as good as you can be was not good enough. So he said your lifestyle, your conversation could not pay the sin debt. Gold could not pay the sin debt. Silver could not pay the sin debt. All the riches and the traditions of your fathers, keeping the Ten Commandments, walking in the statutes of Moses, could not pay the sin debt for you. But God, amen? But the precious blood of Christ, Christ Jesus, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He perfection, who knew no sin, chose to die for the unrighteousness of Curtis Fitz. Put your name there.
Yeah.
Because none is good. No, not one. Every man has gone astray. No man has sought after the Lord on their own. It took God seeking them to call them out of darkness. No man said, in his own mind, woke up one day and said, "Oh, I want to know God."
Yeah.
You know? He may have woke up one day and said, "Man, I think I am God." And that happens a lot. We become gods in our own imaginations. But the real, true, loving God said, "I created you, I called you, I cleansed you, I redeemed you out of the hell that you were in, and I set you free."
Yes.
Set you free. You are no longer a bondage in sin anymore. That's a beautiful thought. And in verse 20, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, what was manifested in these last times for you." That foreordained. So when before sin entered in, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit knew there had to come a payment for the sin of man. They knew that man was going to sin. The Godhead Trinity knew, and they said, "Well, how are we going to fix this sin debt? If I am holy, if God is really holy, which he is, Because it says, be holy because he is holy. He is absolute holy without sin. There is no darkness in him or around him at all. Where God is, there's no shadows. Imagine that. You know, no, we can't even imagine life without shadows. Right? That's how we get our depth perception, is from shadows. And God, he was coming from a place where there was no sin, there was no darkness, there is no shadow at all. In him, there is no shadow of turning at all. He's perfect, he's light, he's good. And he said, I love man so much. Before man was even formed on the earth, foreordained, before the world was formed, he said, I know mankind, I love mankind, and he's going to come up short. And I'm going to have to judge him because he will sin.
Right, right.
So what will pay for that sin debt? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? It's going to take a perfect, spotless lamb without blemish to pay for the sin debt of man. Since sin entered through Adam, it was going to take an Adam-like creation, a breathing human flesh and blood creation that did not have the sin debt. Because if I am a sinner, I cannot pay for your debt because we are the same.
That's right.
So God came. It was perfect and foreordained before the foundation of the world. He saw the cross. He saw that man was going to fall short, and he saw that God was going to make himself the payment for sin.
Amen.
When you try to wrap your mind around that, it'll make your eyes bleed because you just can't quite grasp it. How can a holy God choose to become a human to die for worms like us? That we might be redeemed and regain the relationship that he had with mankind in the very beginning.
Right.
See, God foreordained that. He knew it before time began, that these things were going to have to be just like this. Oh, how he loves you and me. Even before the foundation of the world, he was manifest. He was made that salvation, that grace came to life in their time.
Amen.
You know, they saw the risen Lord. They saw the glory of God. Peter was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus, his Shekinah glory, came out of him and he talked with the prophets. He was there. He saw it. He beheld the glory of the only begotten Son of God. What a beautiful thought. And Peter, he was there. He spoke to God. Shouldn't we build 3 tabernacles here?
Yeah.
And then the father spoke out of the cloud. Here, my son, right? Do what the son says. Don't worry about the other guys. Yeah, but do what Jesus said. And so he was manifest. He was made visible in the last days when Peter was alive. And by him, Christ, do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So do you get a glimpse of the picture here? God knew that there's a sin debt. He knew the only way to pay the sin debt was a perfect blood of man. It took perfection. And so he came and he made himself manifest to mankind. He walked, he ate, he drank. God became like us to be tempted just like us, that he might die for us as the propitiation of our sin, the covering of our sin. And then not only did he die, but they raised him up from the dead. You know, because on the cross that day, 3 men died.
Right.
3 men died. Two were made righteous. 1 rose from the dead. 1 was condemned. Remember me, as the thief said. Remember me when you come into your glory. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise.
Blessing.
Praise God. And I love that account so much because that man on the cross, he didn't have to be baptized.
No.
Right?
Right?
He didn't have to be baptized. He didn't speak in tongues.
No.
He didn't do 1 miracle. He didn't do 1 good thing. In fact,
Amen.
He told the other thief on the other side of Jesus, right, we deserve this death. But the man that's in between us, he did no wrong. He doesn't deserve to be here. Then he said, and Jesus said, through his compassion, through the faith of that man, today you're going to be with me.
Bless
God. The righteousness of God was poured over the unrighteousness of a human, flawed killer, perchance.
Amen.
Thief, for sure. Amen. Then Jesus rose from the grave, all right? And then God gave him glory, the glory that he had before the foundation of the earth. The same Shekinah glory that they saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus now is clothed in that light. He's in that spot. The Father is on the throne, and Jesus is in the Father, and guess where the believer is? In Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We are in Christ. And we have a sealing of the Holy Spirit, a redeeming seal over top of us. That means that you are bought. You are a purchased possession of God through the Holy Spirit. And he has you until that day of redemption. So there is a day that our faith, because I haven't seen these things yet, but I believe them enough to do whatever the Bible tells me, right? We've got to believe this account of Christ, his love for mankind, the depravity of mankind, the compassion of God, and the propitiation of the righteous for the unrighteous, the
Amen.
Covering.
Amen. Right.
And that's the faith that it takes. Mm-hmm. And when you really believe that God loves you so much that he gave not just a little, but everything,
Amen.
He gave you the very best. More than all the riches of this world, more than silver or gold or your lifestyle.
Right.
Because you can be an amoral individual and still go to hell. You can go to church 7 days a week and still go to hell. You can read your Bible until your eyes fall out and still go to hell.
Yeah, sure.
You've got to have a right relationship with the living God. Surrendered, completely surrendered to the Most High God.
Amen.
Right? And when you get there, When you have that, you know you got it.
That's right.
Right? You know you got it. See, I can't look at you and see if you got it. You can't look at me and see if I got it. But I know I got it because my spirit communes with his spirit.
Amen.
Let me put that the other way. His spirit communes with my spirit because it all starts with God.
Bless
right?
God.
It all starts with him. And after that, all these other things start happening in us. And so he was foreordained by him. We do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave Jesus glory, that our faith and our hope might be in God. So let me ask you this. Where's your faith and hope?
In God.
It better be.
There ain't no other place.
There ain't no. So the government ain't going to help you? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Well, food stamps ain't going to help. How about your neighbor, your church? Are they going to fail you? Absolutely they will. You know why? Because we're sinners. None is righteous, no, not one. But if we look for our hope, if we look to the God who gave us that hope, who gave us that faith, who
Amen.
Gave us his spirit, who sealed us with that confirmation of the Holy Spirit living in us, the comforter inside of us, drawing us closer to him, oh, you have a hope that goes way
Amen.
Beyond anything this world can provide. And you can know. You can know because you have that relationship
That's
with
right.
a living God. All right. Seeing, verse 22, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. All right. Now, we got to slow down a little bit. Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed. That means without hold, no holding, no bars hold, that's the
right.
saying in wrestling.
Right.
You know, it's no bars hold match. And so it's unfringed. There's nothing that you trust more than God.
Amen.
Unfringed. Love one another with a pure heart and fervency. All right, now let's back up and look at that again. Seeing you have purified, who purified your souls?
God.
Now, hold on, what does it say? Seeing ye have purified your souls. Is he talking about God or is he talking about us? He's talking about us. Now, wait a second. Did God wash you? Absolutely. Come on. You got it? I think you got it. Right here. All right. So it's God's righteousness over top of you, and he gives you direction.
Amen.
All right? And you say, oh, but God, I really love betting on the ponies. And God says, well, don't bet on the ponies. Wait a second. I really like betting on the ponies. No, you can't bet. You can't play the lotto. I want to play the lotto. Well, okay, you've got a choice to make. Who's God to you? The lotto or God?
Right?
And so, understanding this, that he covered your unrighteousness, but we must purify our souls by walking in truth.
Amen.
All right, God paid the price, but he didn't bar you from committing sin. You have got to desire righteousness. You've got to desire holiness enough to adjust your life to what the Word of God says.
Right?
See, he paid it all. But we often forget, all to him I owe.
Amen.
Right? I understand that it was the righteousness of God that covered me. Absolutely no doubt.
Yes.
And I am saved through his work on the cross, not of any work that I can do, lest any man should boast. Amen? It is not anything I do. But because I am saved, I am purified with the blood of Jesus Christ. Thus, I train my body. I crucify the flesh. I choose not to live in sin. I choose to live in holiness.
Amen.
I choose to live in righteousness. I choose to keep my sinful flesh pressed down underneath the righteousness of God.
Amen.
That's a fight.
Well, you know what?
Come on, tell me something.
Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. take care of it.
Yes, he will.
If you want it, you pray and he'll do it.
You pray and obey.
Amen.
All right, because you can ask for it and he'll give you the keys to the car, but if you don't take the keys and crank the engine, it ain't done you no good.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, I mean, did God pay it? Did God deliver it? Did he give you the way out of sin? Absolutely. When Jesus died on the cross and said, "It is finished," guess what? It was done.
Amen.
The sin debt was paid.
Yes.
So why do I live in sin? Well, I haven't purified my heart. I need to choose today, who am I going to serve?
Amen.
It's a personal relationship with God.
That's it.
And it is impossible with man,
right?
But with God, all things are possible. That's what Jesus talked about, the rich young ruler. And he said, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. And the disciples say, well, how could these things be? And he said, with man, it's impossible. All right? I cannot live righteously and holy without the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost. I cannot do it. All right? God gave us the Holy Ghost, the Comforter,
Amen.
John 14. He said that I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare for you a place. And if I go to prepare for you a place, I will come again.
Amen.
But unless I die and I go to the Father, I will not be able to send the Comforter, the Paracletus, the one that's just like me, who will indwell you.
Yes.
But if I go, I will pray the Father, and the Father will send him. And then he's going to come and live in you. And what's his job when he lives in you? To guide you into all truth.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
So we have a free will, but we have a guiding spirit.
Right.
The Spirit of God. He comes into you, and he set you free from the sin that you're bound by. Mm-hmm. But you've got to choose his way. You've got to choose what the Bible says is right, regardless of what you feel is right.
That's right.
Have we ever felt something, been fooled? Mm-hmm. Oh, I sure love that person. Right? You're 13 years old. Oh, I love you so much. Oh, I love you. No, you don't. you don't even know what love is yet. Right? You're infatuated. That'll pass. It's like eating too many pinto beans. Right? It's a bloating in your stomach. It'll pass. You're not going to die. It's going to stink, but it'll pass. That's what he's, you know, that thing that you think you love more than God. It's a bloating in the stomach. It feels good. Sin is pleasurable for a moment.
Right?
But the end of it there is death. Right? So what's going to keep me from that death? Me choosing to walk with God.
Amen.
See, he paid it all. He loved me to the utmost. He loves you to the utmost.
Bless.
But I've got to love him back.
Yes.
I have got to be holy. I have got to purify my life. Now, how do I get my life pure?
Lord.
It's the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. Right? The basic instructions. What do I need to know? Anything I need to know about this life is right here.
It'll tell me how to handle my finances. It'll tell me how to find a mate. It'll tell me how to love that mate to the utmost, where I can be married for 21 years and have a beautiful family that loves the Lord, right? It tells me how to do those things. It tells me to raise up a child in the way they should go, that when they're old, they won't depart from it. Now, often we think, well, the way I'm going to raise up a child and the way he should go, I'm going to make him read the Bible for every day from morning till night.
That's not what it said.
Right.
What he's saying is you understand your children. You know what their bend is. God put in them special, super special things. Right? Like a musician or a book reader or a mechanic or a builder or whatever that thing is in them. And as a parent, you learn what that is. And you say, I'm going to help my child achieve that because God's already put that spiritual gift in them. And I'm going to help them to grow. And when they grow, they're going to understand that I love God and God showed me them and I raised them up in that way. And then they're going to honor God. I've seen too many PKs, pastor kids, right, that were forced to sit down at the dinner table and read 45 verses before they ate supper.
Yeah.
And then they grow up and hate God.
Right.
Right? Because they took that scripture and they twisted it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to raise up a child the way I think it should go.
That's not what it said. Raise up the child in the way they should go.
Amen.
Right?
I heard a sermon on that this morning.
Oh, did you? Man. <Yeah. laughs> Praise God. Well, am I right then?
Pardon?
Am I right?
You are.
All right, praise God.
Right.
If that's what Swindoll said, that makes me right. No. I don't know. So, anyhow, you have got to purify your souls in obeying the truth. All right? You've got to do that. You've got to obey the truth. He gave you the truth. He gave you His Holy Spirit. He also left with you a free will. You don't have to obey God. You know that? There's hell to pay if you don't. But if you choose to obey God, if you choose His way over your way, if you choose righteousness over unrighteousness, if you surrender, it's not you choosing Christ. If you surrender to Christ and follow the unctioning of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You've got to be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit of God. And understand this, the Holy Spirit will never lead you outside the confines of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
He'll never tell you to cheat. He'll never tell you to lie. He'll never tell you to steal. He'll never tell you to murder. He'll never tell you to do anything outside of the confines of Scripture. And if you listen to the Holy Spirit, He will always guide you into righteousness.
Amen.
And He'll remind you the things that Jesus did. Because that's His job.
Right.
You know? And I feel bad for the Holy Spirit. Because He lives in me.
Yeah, but He knew what we did.
He knew that before he bought me. Amen. And so, all right, see, but I need to obey it through the Spirit. Amen. Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, all right, unto unfringed love of the brethren. Now, who am I supposed to love unfringed?
The brethren.
Who is the brethren? It's you guys, right? I have to love you.
That's right.
And I like that a lot because it doesn't say I've got to like you. Okay.
I heard that.
It doesn't say. All it says is I gotta love you. That means with all of your quirks, all of my quirks, all of my shortcomings, all of my weirdness, you don't have a choice.
Right.
You gotta love me. Isn't that great? You know. And I gotta love you.
Yeah.
And see, I can't take what I perceive as perfection and put it on you.
That's right.
Because you're serving my master, and I'm serving my master.
Amen.
I am not your master. I can't tell you to live a certain way. My job is to point out what the Scripture says.
That's right.
And encourage you to live what the Scripture says. Your job is to know what the Scripture says and encourage me to do what the Scripture says. Right? And that's really what that loving the brethren is all about. It's not about beating up other Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have seen him. Boy, he came to church the other Sunday. He was wearing mismatched socks. He had Mickey Mouse and Scooby-Doo socks on.
My, what a sinner. He's going to go to hell. You know, we get so caught up in the stupidest things, right?
Toeless shoes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
No hose on.
Yes. And, all of the foolish laws that we used to put in people, you know. If you don't walk this way, you don't talk this way, you don't look this way, then you can't be one of us. Well, praise God, maybe you shouldn't be. Maybe we should. We ought not think that we're all that much.
Right.
Because we're really not. That's why God loves you just like you are. He knew your characteristic, your character that was in you before he saved you. And he didn't change your character. He just gave you a better way of life. Right?
Amen.
The holy way, the righteous way. But you, as a human being, have got to choose his way over your way.
Amen.
Right? And when you take the bend that God gave you, the characteristics that God put in you, like me with corny jokes, or old rock and roll songs from the 60s that nobody really remembers but me, all of those things, he knew I was going to have those and I was going to be hard time forgetting them. Right? And he took that and bent me in a certain direction, and then he saved me, and then he took all of that goo and started glorifying himself in the midst of all of that.
Isn't he?
He is. And so I don't know what kind of goo you came out of. I really don't. But God did. He saved you with that weirdness that you're in. Uniqueness. That's how you catch a rabbit, you know, unique up on him. See what I'm talking about? And so, anyhow, those things that is in you, God doesn't want to change those things. He wants to increase those things for his glory.
That's right. Amen.
He wants to work in you and on you and mold you and conform you into his image with your character. His image, the image of God that you're being conformed into, is love and joy and patience and goodness and kindness. All of the fruit of the Spirit,
right?
And the truth and the knowledge of the Most High God. That's what He's conforming you into. Mm-hmm. Isn't that great?
Amen. Yes.
And He's not really changing anything in you, but everything about you. So the core thing that was inside of you when you were being developed in your mom's womb, that God put in you, that spirit, special thing, whether it be art or being able to read or calculate, or you're tall or you're short or bow-legged or rich or poor, all that stuff that he already knew about you, he wants to take what's already in you and conform that into something that is valuable to him.
Amen.
He doesn't want to change you. He wants to remake you.
Right.
You know, he just wants to pull the dross, the sin out of you. Or give you a way to kill the sin that's in you would be a better way to put it.
Yes.
Because he doesn't force it out, but he gives you a way of escape.
Right.
Right? And in that, that's that purifying, that obeying the truth through the Spirit. And then through that, then you got to love each other.
Right.
You know, we've got to love one another. I've got to prefer you. I've got to love you more than my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister. That's what Jesus said. And if you don't love me more than these, you can't be my disciple.
Right.
Who here wants to be a disciple of the Lord? Amen? Then you better love Jesus and the body more than anything else on the outside.
Right.
Not that we can't be fond of things on the outside. Because I love the lost. I really do. But I'd rather be with you guys.
Amen.
You know? Because I had a choice. Up until 10 o'clock, I can be at a bar.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I'm a pastor. No, I can't. But you know what I'm saying? I could be at the racetrack. I could be watching Scooby-Doo or whatever, you know? You could be wasting your time with all kinds of things. But instead of doing that, you're here. You're here. I prefer being with y'all than watching whatever's on. What is on TV on Wednesday night? I don't know. It's been 30 years since I've seen a Wednesday night TV show. I haven't missed anything, have I? I think last time it was Magnum P.I. Yeah, it was about that time. Yeah. Anyhow, but I love the brethren more than I love the things of the world. See that you love one another and do that with a pure heart.
Amen.
Fervently.
That means expressly desiring, wanting a deeper love than anything else. See, when I love the body, because the Holy Spirit lives in you, guess who I'm loving? God. In you is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Comforter, the Paracletus, in you. So when I love you and you love me, you're really not necessarily liking the exterior of me.
Right.
You're liking the interior of me, which is the Holy Ghost. So as I love you, I'm loving God.
That's right.
Right? And so that's what loving the brethren and preferring the brethren is all about.
Amen.
All right? For the flesh, and again, being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Woo-hoo! Praise God for that. Because everything else is going to pass away. In the next couple of verses here, he says, For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Well, hey, sis, is the flower falling off? Mine is. I'm not. When I was 18, I was a very physically fit individual, right? I mean, I could do some stuff. But the older I get, the more my flower petals are falling off.
Yes, but if we don't, then we're not.
Amen.
Older.
That's right. Yeah, it comes with age. So the grass is going to fade, right?
Yeah.
When you were 18, I bet you were just, bam, ooh, you were probably so hot, the asphalt melt when you walked. I mean, ooh, just slick, you good-looking thing, right? But now you're 57, and it's not nearly as hot as what it used to be. But that's okay. It's beautiful in a different way.
That's
you know?
Right.
Yeah. See, that youth, that the beauty, the blooming of the flower, I mean, it's only a bud. It only blooms for a little while.
Yes.
And those buds are gorgeous, right? A rose bud, I think, is more beautiful than a fully expanded rose.
Mm-hmm.
To me, personally, I like rose buds. They're beautiful. And I think the scent is much better because it's concentrated,
mm-hmm.
too. But anyhow, beside the point. That grows, and it makes that bud, and I think it's the most beautiful part.
Amen.
All right? But then it spreads out, and the flowers drop off of it. Okay. Such is life. That's okay.
That's
doesn't
right.
mean that the vine's dead, you know, and it will grow again, right? And so there's coming a day that all of me is going to dry up and wither away.
Right.
Amen? And that's okay. You were, when the time that you got born, you started to die.
That's right.
Right? You're born as a baby, and from that day, you start dying.
Yes.
And then it just happens.
Yes.
Right? And so it's a natural part of life, and that's what he's saying here, that the grass grows, and then it's the glory of man, and flowers of like the flowers of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Right, so that's human life. That's what happens. But the word of the Lord endureth forever.
Amen.
Woo-hoo.
Amen.
Praise God. God's word is going to last forever.
Amen.
And ever and ever. The only thing that's truly everlasting is the word of God.
Yes.
And the spirit that is in you, which
yes.
is the word of God. Right, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. All right, so he said all of that, wherefore... All right, he said, all of that for this reason, wherefore, laying aside how much malice?
Oh.
All right, and how much guile?
Oh.
And how much hypocrisy and envies and how much evil?
Oh.
All. Wow. Okay, wait a second. Because I have this Holy Spirit in me, because I've been born again, because I'm purifying my life, because I'm foreordained before the foundation of the world, because I believe that Jesus died and rose again from the grave, because he gave me his Spirit, because I'm born again, wherefore I need to lay aside all malice? Oh, come on. I like to keep a little malice right here. You know, just a little bit that I can pull out every once in a while. Oh, here I got some malice. No, you got to get rid of it all. You can't have any of that, any malice. How about guile? Well, I just wish I had a little. I wish that fish that I caught was really that big. right? And so that guile, that unrighteousness, that unholiness, the stench of ungodliness, all guile needs to be put away. How about hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is acting. It's good. See, that natural curve that's in you needs to stay in you, because if you stop doing the natural curve that's in you, you become a hypocrite.
Right.
A hypocrite is an actor.
Right.
A hypocrite is an actor. It's so odd that people right now in our time care so much about what actors say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, movie star so-and-so said blah, blah, blah. First of all, he's a professional paid liar. All right? That's what an actor is. He is paid to lie. And he's paid really good to lie. Because I guarantee you, John Wayne did not kill all those Indians. I know. It shocked me too when I first came to understand it, right? But who's that guy who sells on shirt when Schwab, somebody speaks, everybody listens? Who is that?
Biafun.
Who? Biafun. Yeah, E.F.
Hutton.
Yeah, E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Why? Why would anyone care what he has to say? Right? Big deal. I don't even know the guy. Why would I care what he has to say? I would rather know what Jesus has to say.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Does E.F. Hutton have the words of life? Nope. He's a liar. He's a hypocrite. Nobody should care, especially the church. All right? We need to not be hypocrites, not in ourselves. Put off all envying. You know, I know that y'all really want to be like me. No, I know you don't. I sure hope you don't. If you think you want to be like me, you ought to hang around me just a little bit more, and that'll pass. We shouldn't desire things that other people have.
Right.
All right? With food, clothing, and shelter, that would be content.
Yes.
You know, be happy with what you got.
That's right.
You know, what drives so many people into great amounts of debt is I've got to keep up with the neighbors.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. My neighbor has two cars and blah, blah, blah. Well, I got to have two cars and blah, 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 too. Well, again, a commercial. Stop. Commercials don't matter. What does matter is I don't need what the world has.
That's right.
What I need is what God is offering.
Amen.
Right? God is offering love, joy, peace, contentment, long-suffering, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what he wants us to have. And evil speaking. Oh, that gossip. I'm bad about talking evil about dignitaries. Mm-hmm. You know? And I'm getting better, ain't I? You know, I'm getting better. You're getting better because we keep each other in check. You know? And so, but I've been known to badmouth Cuomo today. Right? And so, I need to get better at that. I need to do it less. I need to get worse at it because I'm pretty good at badmouthing Cuomo. Right? So, I need to get worse at it, not better at it.
Well, David said he hated God's enemies.
Yeah, amen. And he also prayed that the Lord would break their teeth out. Wouldn't that be nice? Hey, Lord, break out Cuomo's teeth.
I tell you, I'm coming to this. Everybody back in your office. No visiting families. Because you died of COVID.
And so, anyhow, see, there I go. But as Christians... As Christians, we ought to be desiring that sincere milk of
Amen.
The Word.
Amen.
Instead of worrying about all the other things, all the crazy stuff that's going on, where's my comfort going to come from? It's not who's going to be president next.
No.
You know? Because it's the same dog with different spots.
Yeah.
Right? It really doesn't matter. I know folks say, well, Trump is this or Biden's that. They're both sinners, right? Mm-hmm. Neither one of them are Christian, mm-hmm. all right? Now, the thing that I do like about Trump is he is pro-life, and praise God for that.
Yeah.
And he is pro-religion. You can believe, and in America, you can believe what you want to believe, and it's okay. If you want to be a Muslim, I don't care. I prefer that you're a Christian, but you're not.
In America, you have that right to be that. You know, you want to be a tree hugger? Go ahead, bark up that tree, you know? That is, you have the right to do it. But you also have the right to come and worship God, the Word of God, freely and openly and unashamedly.
Yes.
Right? And so, we as Christians, we need to desire that sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. Do you really read your Bible in a way that it fulfills your life? Because that's what he's talking about here.
Amen.
Yeah. Do you really desire that sincere Word of God in such a way that it brings growth and nutrition to the soul of your man?
Amen.
Right. And in that, if you really desire that Word, that you can grow. I see so many people, and I've talked to them in this body, you know, so many people that have been going to church their whole life, but they've never read their whole Bible. Mm-hmm. And that's why we started about 7 years ago with this campaign, and we got a lot of people reading their Bible now, glory to God. Mm-hmm. But up until that point, there were so many people in the body of Christ that had never read their Bible from cover to cover. You know, they read this part or that part. They'll pull a verse out here and a verse out there. They might even know that the Old Testament is before the New Testament, you know, and Genesis is the beginning and Revelation is the end, but I don't know anything in between. See, that sincere milk of the Word, that's something that's going to have you open up in the beginning and finished in the last. Amen. Amen, right?
Amen.
And then you read it and you study it. See, the Leviticus has something for you. Deuteronomy has something for you. The Song of Solomon has something for you, right? The prophets have something for you. All of the begots, don't forget the begots. All of the begots, they have something for you. Now, it might be hard to find. You might have to dig into it a little bit to find out what the begots mean. Begots are begats. Anyhow, this one belonged to that one belonged to this one, that one belonged to that one. And it goes on for like, in Numbers, I think it goes on for like 7 chapters, right? This one begot that one, begot this one, begot that one.
Yeah.
If you're at the end of those begots, it's a great thing, you know? And so, anyhow, but all of those are good for us to know, and it's good to study those things, and to grow by there, or thereby, that you have sown. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, let me ask you, have you tasted God lately? That sweet milk of the Word. Have you opened it up and allowed that honeycomb to touch the deepest desire of your soul through the studying, through the meditating, through the knowledge of the Word of God in your life? Not about what somebody else says the Word of God is, but for you personally, because this book isn't written for somebody else. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of people saying, man, I wish, and I've said this before, I wish my son would have heard that sermon. Okay, yeah, I do. But that sermon, it wasn't for him because he wasn't there.
Right.
You know who needed to hear that sermon?
Me.
I did. I needed to hear that sermon. And it convicted my heart so much that I wished it would have convicted his. Still, that's not looking at it correctly. To look at it correctly, I need to taste and see that God is good.
Yeah.
I need to taste and to taste this Word, to understand, to eat the cream of the milk of God. And then as it gets in you, it helps you to grow. It helps you to understand. It helps you to be enveloped in the grace and the mercies of the Most High God.
Amen.
Man, it's got a question? No. She's looking at me like you. No? Okay. It's because sometimes some of the greatest things come out of conversations like this.
Mm-hmm.
To whom coming is unto a living stone disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. All right, so what's your job?
Glorifying your job.
Glorifying God.
Glorify God. Amen. You are living stones. You're a living stone. You are an intricate Lego. Lego of my ego. You are a Lego. I like Legos because you get different sizes, different stuff, and they all fit together, and you know, and they just fit in a certain way. God has you in this body, and He's conforming you to fit in a particular spot.
Amen.
Right? And sometimes He's got to do some whittling. You know, sometimes you don't fit in the spot you think you fit in. And God says, well, I'm building the church. I'm the master carpenter. And so I see you, and I need to knock the corner off of you to fit in there. But I like that corner. Well, that corner's got to go because I'm the builder. You're the living stone. I'm going to conform you, not for your glory, but for my glory.
Amen.
All right? And He's building us. He's changing us. We are living stones. We're a spiritual house. Amen? A holy priesthood. And the reason that we're here is to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Which makes you think there must be spiritual sacrifices that are not acceptable to God. Do you know that you can offer up something to God that He doesn't want?
Mm-hmm.
And it can be very spiritual. Oh, I'm so spiritual. We can do things that we're not called to do.
Right.
We think it's righteous before God, but did God really call you to do that? Or is that somebody else's calling? I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But He has us as living stones. And as living stones, and He's the master potter, the master builder. He's the carpenter. He's the one who changes us, molds us
Amen.
Into His image, that we could be that spiritual house.
Yeah.
That ark, as it were, that the lost could run into. See, when we fit together properly, oh, we work so well,
mm-hmm.
right? When each part does its thing,
mm-hmm.
when each of us are obedient to what God has called us to
Amen.
Do,
yes.
it's a beautiful thing. There's a lot of other deeper stuff I could get into right there. So what we'll probably do is I'm going to pick up here in verse 5 or verse 4 next week. Verse 4, and we're going to really dig into this living stones. All right, because Jesus said, on this rock I shall build my ecclesia, my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I think we ought to dig in. I mean, as I'm even talking about that, I think we need to crack that open and do a little bit deeper investigation than just what we're seeing right here. Because even in my mind right now, it's bouncing around about 12 different scriptures that will help illuminate this a little bit better. But it's after 8 o'clock, and I don't want to keep you all night. You know, so ain't I God? Anyhow, I love you guys. And we need to be desiring that true milk of the Word.
Amen.
All right? And that we can grow. And as we grow, guess what we get to eat? Steak, right? After you eat milk for a while, you start with milk, right? That's all you can eat. And then you get strained peas, you know, or they got that little baby food in a jar, you know, that kind of stuff. and then actually, so after, this is how I did my boys. It was the milk, then it was the string beans and mashed potatoes and stuff like that. Then I'd give them a pork chop bone. Oh, my boys love the pork chop bone.
Yeah.
You know, they're gnawing it like a dog. It's great. They got all the good stuff out of it. And so anyhow, or steak bone or something like that before they had teeth. Big enough they could hold on, too big to swallow. Right? And they just chew on that thing. And that's how we grow in Christ. He starts out with the milk. He starts out with the things that are easy to swallow. The things that taste good. And then He puts something a little bit more chewy.
Yeah.
Right, and then you finally start growing teeth, and then you can, like Brother Kevin said, ribeye. You know, you get the prime after that, right?
Yeah.
And so anyhow, praise God. Next week we'll get into some more bone. We'll get into some bone, but it will lead to ribeyes. Amen.
Yeah.
And so let's go to the Lord in gracious prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your love, Your grace, Your goodness.
Praise
we thank You, Father, for the way that You have shown us your manifold blessings. Yes. Father, we desire to walk with you. I thank you, Father, that you brought us here together tonight in the middle of the week to get to know you better, to get to worship before you, to get to hold on to each other. Father, to build the body and to help us to know that you have expected us to be holy before you.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'll see you next week. No, I'll see you Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday.